I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. Now here's your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner. Okay, radio listeners, Jay Garvin's here once again, another Saturday, another Sunday. Glad to be here, glad to spend this hour with you right here on the Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk. And like every single week, my producer Matt and I have a show for you that is not only going to be entertaining, but it's going to keep you on your toes. A lot of information, excitement, and of course, more real estate, more mortgage, more budgeting, crunching numbers, and how you can go from novice to professional in a single subject in a single hour. If you're just hearing my voice for the very first time, my name is Jay. I'm your friend. My number is 719-330-1457. You also can go to churchillmortgage.com if you have your hands on the wheel and you need to keep rolling down the road. If you're with me for 2 minutes or 55 minutes, I want this hour to be just for you and I. Again, you can call me at 719-330-1457. Not only am I your host of the Jay Garvin Show, I'm also a licensed loan originator right here in the state of Colorado. Now several other states, of course. We're licensed in New Mexico, just closed first couple loans there, in Florida, in Tennessee, in South Dakota, now in South Carolina, and more states like Wisconsin, Arizona, Texas, North Carolina to come. As you move all over the world and this radio podcast and show reaches them, we reach further as well. We are a team right here, a mortgage lending team, a servicing team, which means you refinance with Churchill Mortgage. There's a 70% chance your conventional loan will be serviced and the relationship continue with Churchill Mortgage, and specifically our team, the Garvin's Group, right here in downtown Colorado Springs on the corner of Colorado and Cascade, but also Churchill now in over 40 states, serving over $2 billion worth of mortgages and servicing over 8,000 going on to 10,000 of our clients. Stay with us for the long haul, and we want you to be one of them. I love doing this show. I've got a fantastic guest for you today, Bill McAfee, the longest standing and most educated guest that steps into the studio. So we're going to do an extended economic update. We've got numbers for you that are just explosive about what's happening in the real estate market. It's apropos that today we're really leaning in on real estate because I do about a third of my shows on real estate, about a third to maybe 50% of my shows specifically on mortgages, specifically on the ins and outs of how to understand your mortgage financing, because let's face it, for 95% of us out here, our home and our mortgage will be the biggest investment that you ever make. Unless you're starting up a business or growing a business, there really isn't any other expense in life that can exceed a $300,000, $500,000, million single investment in one given time. So I like to give you the details. I certainly want to earn your business or your family's business, your coworkers, the parishioners at your church, your friends within your neighborhood. I want to earn all of your business for your next refinance or purchase mortgage. Churchill Mortgage, like I said, we're across state lines in over 40 states. I think 45, 44, 46 is the number now. We've been affiliated with Dave Ramsey for over 29 years. This next year, we're going to both celebrate 30 years, the Dave Ramsey Show, Lampo, his Ramsey Solutions team, and Churchill Mortgage, which was founded in 1992 by Mike Hartwick. For years before we joined Churchill in 2015, I was the sole owner of Garvin's Mortgage Group. I used to refer to it as the bank of Jay and Marlowe. For 11 years, we built it from scratch, and I want to bring my experience, the heart of a teacher, all of that to you, not only here on the show, during this recording, during this podcast, during this segment, but also for the rest of your adult life. Now, today we've got a great show. This show is titled Short-Term Rentals. Is it worth your time and money? Short-term rentals, is this a new trend or is it here to stay? But more importantly, we're going to talk about, is it worth your time and money? See, I did a show, I think about a month ago now. I've owned my home in Tennessee, an investment property. It is my first short-term rental. I've dabbled and considered the possibility here in Colorado Springs. I did so seriously in 2019. I was very excited that I did not take the plunge because we went into COVID. A lot of short-term rental, VRBO, Airbnb did very, very well, but not much money in it for the novices. A lot of people who had it established. COVID year, COVID-19, actually turned out to be a large year for Airbnbs and traveling, and hotels were down because of the elevators, the restrictions, but you could rent a home, take your family to South Dakota, and not have to wear a mask, not be told what to do, and that kind of changed the trend in the latter half of the year. So I did a show called The Tennessee Two-Step in June, and it really was about selling one of my houses here in Colorado, specifically in Patty Jewett area in the central part of town, and 1031 exchanged that house into Tennessee. I've had it a month now. We've received our first check. We have relationships with our property managers and all of the contractors and the contacts and the real estate agents and the insurance companies. All of that I've done. So now it's time to go through the entire comparison here today. And here's the three things I'm going to do. First, we're going to look at the local ordinances and how short-term rentals actually work. Specifically in Colorado Springs, we'll take a brush, quick view in Woodland Park, Manitou, Green Mountain Falls, things like that. But then also, we will then go into the traditional rental investment property compared to the short-term rental, which just 10, 15 short years ago, for the most part, with the exception of corporate rentals for 2 weeks or 2 months, did not exist. Now they're an extension of the hospitality industry, and I'm going to talk with you about what is a short-term rental, how are the ordinances laid out, how does it compare to a traditional investment property, and then, of course, what are your options and your next step in this process? Now, all of this starts with real estate. All of this starts with choosing a great real estate asset that is appreciating and worth money. So that's why I'm going to have in Bill McAfee. Bill McAfee has been in title for over 25 years. He and Ronnie, his wife, owned Empire Title until they recently sold it, just like I sold Garvin's Mortgage Group and partnered with Churchill back in 2015. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to start the next segment really looking into the economic update and real estate within Colorado Springs with Bill McAfee, and also jump right back into short-term rental conversation. Please, during the break, take the time to call me at 330-1457. Help me answer your questions and get your next purchase or refinance transaction started. We'll be back after these important messages.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Aero Moving and Storage. Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay, your host right here, Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk. I started in the initial segment the topic of short-term rentals. You know, whether it's a new trend or whether it's here to stay, if you've got questions on this subject, you call me at 719-330-1457. I am all ears with short-term rentals and how it differs from long-term rentals. And more importantly, if you heard the topic of short-term rentals and you've heard the topic of how that's different from a traditional investment property, the Airbnb, the VRBO, you just call me at 330-1457. I do all things, all real estate, all mortgage. I can help you. But you know as well as I do, a real estate investment, whether it's a primary residence, an investment property, or in this case, an investment property that's a short-term rental, it starts with the value of the home. Then it starts with the ordinances, the regulations, and then, of course, it goes into the gross profit versus the net profit. But it all starts with the value of that individual property in that given community. So Bill McAfee is in the studio here going through economic update and an expanded, maybe a two-segment interview, my friend. How in the world are you?
I am very good, man.
So how's everything over in Empire Title? I was telling my listeners, if you're listening right now, Bill and Rhonda have been in the title industry for more than 25 years.
I started in 91, so do the math. Yep.
Do the
more
math.
More than 25.
More than 25 years, and you and Rhonda owned Empire Title for decades, more than 15 years?
Yeah, about 16 years.
16 years, and now you guys are still running it. You're active, but you've partnered and went in a larger group with Stewart Title.
Yeah, Stewart bought in, and so Ronnie and I are still running it. And so, yeah, it worked out good for everyone.
Yep, and that's identical. If you're listening right now, that's the exact same thing Marlo and I did with Garvin's Mortgage Group with Churchill back in 2015. I'm still here. 5 going on 6 years, so there's hope for us old-timers. This market is crazy, my friend. The very first time ever we had the average price in this town go over $500,000 dollars for a single home, right?
Right. And, you know, Jay, I'm going to back up just a pinch. What the amazing thing is the listings, because what's really going on right now is it's a simple supply and demand. And the listings, although we came up to almost 700, or we actually dropped down a little bit this month. We had 777.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at the long-term run on listings, go back to the peak, which was about 6,000, and we're down to 756 on a running average.
Uh-huh.
So that's, if you look at those listings, and then sales.
Now let's, I'm going to stop you there because we've got a lot of time. You and I don't have to go fast.
All right.
So if we peel this orange just one slice at a time, do you see the active listings ever going up above 1,000 or 2,000 available homes, single family homes on the market in the next 12 to 36 months?
They could hit 1,000. I don't think we'll hit 2. You know, 36 is a long time. 3 is. But in 2, it's just going to take too much to get it. You know, first of all, the builders, you know, they're building as fast as they can because they're building on dirt as it comes available. So I don't think that's going to increase a lot. A lot of people right now, you know, when it comes to selling, they want to make sure where they're buying. So there's a lot of people that are sitting right now, not sure whether to sell because they don't know if they're going to stay in Colorado Springs.
Because affordability is not coming back. We'll get into that.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit for sure.
You also have more individuals moving into this community than we've ever had before. Believe it. I just saw an article in the Gazette that says, once again, Colorado Springs ranked among the best places to live in America by U.S. News and World Report. So the three factors are the availability with new homes, the opening up of inventory of people saying, sure, I'll sell my house because I'm going to get a new one or leave. And then, of course, the third one is if we have any settling of that inward Colorado Springs migration. And I just don't see that happening.
No, and people are coming here from everywhere. I'd say California's number one. You know, I did a podcast this morning, and it's, you know, California's probably number one. Texas is up there. But I also learned something this morning. The number one city that's bringing basically wealth or wealthy out of New York because they're all leaving is actually Denver.
Is Denver.
Is they, which was kind of a,
Denver's coming from Denver to Colorado Springs.
Well, no, yeah, you're right. But the high dollar stuff from New York, the number one city, I thought it would honestly be Florida, you know, or someplace like that. And right now it's Denver.
So, New York to Denver.
Mm-hmm, yeah, which is very surprising. Found that out when I was on this morning. But the bottom line is we are, so we should have about 3,500 listings. That'd mm-hmm. be normal for us. And we have 700. So we just don't have it.
That's the supply and demand.
Absolutely.
It just is simple. If you've got five houses and 20 people want them,
right,
you're going to have multiple bids.
And you know, the other part about that is on the sales, if you look at the sales, we have about our third highest sales. We were like 1,800 and some. It was the third highest sales ever. And that's amazing when you look at listings are as low as they've ever been.
Yes.
So we have our third highest sell ever. We have our listings at a low that they've just come up in the last 4 months from an all-time low down around 200.
Yeah.
And so, and now keep this in mind too, Jay, we got 4,000 real estate agents.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, some are doing exceptionally well. Some are starving to death.
They're starving, and they'll be gone. That number.
Yeah, they'll be going down. You know, you can't survive. But the number of sales, like I said, to me, it's when you look at those two factors, they are so far apart. We have such a low supply that it's not going to be anytime soon, barring a geopolitical event or a massive increase in interest rates. I definitely do not see a massive increase in interest rates coming. I'm watching the 10-year note and bond. It was back down to 1.36, I think, today. I'm just not seeing that happen. Yellen has already said, as far as the real short-term rates, they ain't going to raise those. I think they're going to let inflation run.
Yep.
And what that means is you're going to see home prices go up more. You're already seeing it in gas prices, food. You're going to see it across the board. And another thing that's going to push prices for all of us is the shortages everywhere, in everything.
In everything.
Yeah. You know, I went to get gas the other day at King Supers, and there's a shortage of drivers that sit on their pump. They didn't have any. I've gone several places to get stuff, and it's like restaurants say, please be patient with us because we can't find help. And it's absolutely true. I know we're having a heck of a time finding help right now.
Sure. So, when you're sending Americans a check
absolutely.
To stay home with Hayden Biden,
yep.
it's just not going to be conducive for the market. For the first time in all of this, my wife just said, hey, look, we got a $330 check, U.S. Treasury check, because I haven't got any stimulus. Have you?
No.
No, but you will now. Tax credit. Well, you don't have any kids under 18.
No, I have one.
One. Yeah. 17?
Yeah. She'll be 18 in November.
Yep. We got a $300 check because we got a 15 and 17-year-old. Yeah. My wife is like, great, that just paid for my son's graduation suit. That's it. But no. 13% increase in sales, like you said, and it's 62% inventories.
Decrease. Well, and if you look at the actual average number, the number of listings is down 57%.
57%.
So you got an increase in sales of 13 and a decrease in what's available down 57% from the year before. That's January through June. So it's just wild. And, you know, we're still having people move down here from Denver like crazy. They're still coming down from Denver and Castle Rock. That is absolutely still happening. But we're seeing a ton of people come in from everywhere. You know how the last several people we've hired, we put a note on our door because we can't find help anywhere else. That's been people that are coming in and moving in here that are like, oh, okay.
Need a job.
And that's how, honestly, that's our best recruiting tool right now.
Well, we're going to keep you the entire next segment. I wanted to go deep in this, and that's perfect. Been Matt and my plan. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to continue a conversation with Bill McAfee right here, Economic Update with Empire Title. And during the break, call me at 330-1457. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Street, why don't they do what they say? Say what you mean, oh man.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m. and 92.5 FM. We're back now. Here's Jay Garvin's.
Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Hey, where's the beef? Yep.
Stop me up. Well, thanks so much for sticking with me. I'm Jay Garvin's, your host of The Jay Garvin Show. Whether you're listening on Saturday morning or if you're catching it on Sunday, I welcome you back. I'm talking about short-term rentals and the comparison of a traditional rental, whether it's worth your time and money to do that short-term rental. But it all starts with the value of the house. If you get a house with good value as a primary residence, an investment property of a long-term nature or a short-term rental nature, you're off and running on the right track. If you want help with this, you give me a call at 719-330-1457. I do everything mortgage, purchase mortgage, refinance mortgage. You call me at 330-1457 and I'll help you get started. I'm continuing the conversation with Bill McAfee, Empire Title, and the economic update of what June, the month of June, looked like in your and my town, the Pikes Peak region. Bill?
Jay, the one thing I'm going to talk about next is called inventory levels. And as an investor and as a title guy, I've watched this. This is kind of my Bible. If you really have one indicator.
And how many properties available.
Yeah, and so what I do is I go back 12 months, I average the sales out each month, and I take what's available for sale. I then divide what's available by the average monthly, and that tells me how long it would take to burn through everything we have. Okay. This thing is a leading indicator. This tells me where things are likely to go. Not a lagging. This is looking forward, not in the rearview mirror.
Okay.
So what's amazing on this stat, typically we would have, you know, roughly 5 months of inventory. So just to put numbers to this, typically we'd have 5 months, take 5 times 30, 150 days. So if we didn't add anything in a normal market, it would take us 150 days to sell everything, right? In our market right now, we would sell everything we have in 15 days.
In 15 days.
15 days. Okay.
So 90% below the average.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's came up a little bit. It got down to 0.38 months. So when you're talking 3 months, you're talking 9-10 days. So just to give people historic perspective, and especially buyers in this market, when you're going in, they need to talk to you, Jay. They need to talk to a lender. They need to be ready to go, because in anything under 500, and now it's even creeping up past that, you're not going to have, you know, well, I want to sit and think on this for a week. It's simply not going to happen. And you better be working with an agent that writes a really good contract, because I mentioned this before, 4,000 agents, but you got a handful that they're doing a lot of the listings. Still a small town and everyone knows everybody. If you're a new broker in town and you write a sloppy contract with dates that don't make sense, I don't care what your price is, you're not going to get bid. So yep, we have a really interesting market that way. I'm a native here and I've never seen it this competitive. And the other thing I would like to say before we even go on with this, sellers, don't overprice your property. Start where it should be and you'll have a bidding war. The average days on market, Jay, in our market right now is 9 days.
That's everything from $1 to $2 million.
That's averaged out. Now, $1 million will take a lot longer to sell, but
maybe
the average is
4 or 5 months.
Yeah, absolutely. So the interesting thing about that is price it where you're supposed to be and you get a bidding war. If you price it too high, again, 9 days, and you have a $400,000 home that's been on the market for 3 weeks, everybody's going, what's wrong? And so you make your own listing go stale if you do that. So you got to be realistic on a price and let the bidding war take care of it.
Absolutely.
56% of the loans that we're doing right now in this market are conventional.
Yeah, okay? We noticed that.
And the reason that is because on FHA and VA, it's very difficult for the borrower to bring that cash above that appraisal.
And we're still getting above asking price offers from 30 to 70
insane.
Grand.
Yeah, it's and it happens all the time.
All the time.
And so one thing I would say out there too to the agents that listen to this, if you have a VA buyer, and I love veterans and I want to thank them all for their service, but if you have a VA buyer in this market and they can afford to do conventional, it makes the offer look better to the seller. You know, because everyone knows the VA appraisal, when it comes in, they may ask for stuff in the inspection. But the bigger thing is, it's rare that they're going to let that veteran bring in an additional $30,000 above that appraisal.
Absolutely.
Or they may not even have the ability. So something to think about. So inventory levels right now, you just said on a $1 million plus home, right now we have about 4 months of inventory in that. Jay, when you and I was doing this, when we go back 8 years, it was 48 months.
48 months in 2014.
So four times it's grown. And I mean, so it's just insane what it is. And every single price range we have now is undersupplied. So give an example. In that $1 million price range, a normal inventory level would be 18 months. We're at 4.
Yeah, okay? And I just noticed this, Bill. I live in the Broadmoor area, and someone snatched up a house on a busy street, $800,000, and I told my wife, that cannot be an $800,000 house. What family is moving in? And now they're flipping it.
Yeah,
and they'll probably get $1.1 million doing all of the exterior elevation with the resin rock, with the new driveway, with the new interior, the kitchen, all of that. It's amazing now. I'm seeing houses flipped up to $1 million because the demand is there in all price categories.
It is. And that's something that we hadn't had for a long time, up until about the last 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really increased. Anything down below that, we're just like, even in the 750 up to $1 million, we have 1.9 months. Let's call it 2 months. Normal in that is 12. So in every single price range that we have, we're undersupplied to a degree that's historic lows. And on those inventory levels, again, these are leading indicators that in every single price range we have right now, you're going to have buyers that are coming in that are willing to pay. It's a seller's market. On interest rates, here's my one thing I got to say on those. Back in 18, we hit 4.6% on interest rates, and the market slowed dramatically. You know, the average household income in El Paso is still around $70,000. Now, when you go north up into Northgate and that, you know, goes to 110, depends on where you're at in the county, but we still have 30 to 40% military and still household incomes around 70. So right now, what has offset the increase in these houses, what's enabled people to continue to buy, has been the interest rates, because the interest rates have held near or at historic lows. And Jay, I just want to give an example. Go back to November of last year, the interest rates were 3.5%. Right now, they're at about 2.98. Okay, so just to compare.
And the treasuries continue to fall. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's
nuts. Hard for me to look at this right now, but today's TNX, well, Friday when we closed yesterday, was 1.29. We're now back to the bottom of COVID.
19. I saw it at 1.136. Where's it at today? Where'd it close today?
Friday it closed at 1.297. We're below 1.3% again.
Wow.
And that is screaming nitrous oxide for inflation, the houses, because now in your formula, you got in front of you, you can buy more house.
That dropped from 3.5 to 2.98. That drop got you almost $24,000 in purchasing power. And that's why, that's what's enabled this to keep going. And Jay, I'm just not seeing an increase. Technically, we should probably be lower than where we're at right now, but there's not capacity. The lenders can't do it. It's impossible.
Yeah, we're busier than we've ever been, and it's not changing. So that interest rate is a big factor in the affordability of housing.
And good news is, I'm just not seeing a push there. I just don't see it. You already mentioned this median sales price, $450,000. It jumped dramatically from May. Even on a running average now on the median, we're at about $399,000, almost $400,000 on a running. What's, Jay, go back to 2009 or 2012 even. So 9 years ago, we were at about, on the medium, about $180,000. It's almost $400,000 now. That's how much that's grown in that 9 years.
Yeah.
So about 180 to 400,000. So, you know, people out there, and then you already mentioned average sales price over 500, first time ever. I mean, we crushed it. It was 502. You know, we had an increase from the previous months, which was a record. You know, like 46, 845, I believe is where it was. So we went from 45 to 502 in 1 month. And we're seeing
502,000. And that's absolutely from 2012 to 2021, in 9 years, all homes on average and median, even the running averages, have doubled in price.
Absolutely.
In less than 10 years.
More than doubled. Yeah, absolutely. And so look on the same chart, going at a little over about 220, those houses are now 452 on a running average. They've all more than doubled.
Yeah, so in the last 3 minutes here, let's really get into the trending. I did notice this. If you look at your statistics year over date, we're now in the fourth month of March, April, May, and June that are all over 20%, 22%, 24%, and now June, 25% increase in value.
And those are from the previous month of previous year?
Which was also a record.
Right. Well, imagine this now. On our average price, compare January through June of this year to January through June of last year, we're up 21%.
21% from 2020, that was a record-breaking year.
Absolutely. The only reason, Jay, we won't sell more units this year, if we don't, is because we've ran out of stuff to sell.
And you started to say that 2 years ago,
it's incredible. The other side is these prices are going to continue to go because of the demand and supply. We simply don't have it.
It's official. Get the party hats out. You have just progressed from Yoda to Notre Dame.
I just like saying Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, I like it.
Because it has an ass in the end. So can I say that?
Yep.
Probably not.
Notre Dame ass. And let us see where your tea leaves, the readings, take us. I don't see it slowing down unless we had a geopolitical event or an astronomical increase in rates, and Janet Yellen and Jay Powell has said first through third quarter of 2023, they're going to let it ride.
Just not seeing it. I think the government's going to let inflation go to try to offset debt. I really think they're going to do it. But bottom line, looking through a summary on this, looking forward, no change in this market. It's one, I read an article the other day, it's the third fastest growing city in the United States. It just, people are coming here. Again, they don't want to be crowded. They want to live in a place where it's gorgeous like this, where you can do everything. It's just, I'm not seeing a slowing. We're going to continue to grow. Prices are going to go up. Going to be on a run for, I believe, years to come.
How do folks find Empire Title, my friend, you and Ronnie?
They can go to etcos.com. It stands for Empire Title of Colorado Springs. They can go to the website. Our main number is 884-5300. They're welcome to call and ask, and we'd be happy to help. Buyers and sellers, agents, whatever.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming on. That's the first time in probably 5 years that we did a double segment. I appreciate you coming in, Bill. If you want help with your next purchase or refinance mortgage, call me now. Call me during the break. 330-1457, Garvin's Group of Churchill Mortgage, a endorsed local provider for Dave Ramsey. Let's get your next transaction started. And next month, Bill, we'll continue with the economic update.
I appreciate it.
Back after these important messages.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
The Jay Garvin Show Home and Mortgage Talk, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11 a.m., here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 a.m., and 92.5 FM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin's.
We want to pop you up.
Hey, where's the beat?
Come on in, Warren stuff. You gotta sing loud. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I can sing for another 25 minutes.
Well, thanks for sticking with me, Jay Garvin's, right here in the final segment of the Jay Garvin Show. I'm talking about short-term rentals. Had a couple of segments where Bill and I talked about the economic update, but in the actual short-term rental world, is this a trend or is it here to stay? And even if it's here to stay, is it worth your time and money to transfer as an investor or even a primary owner into short-term rental? And there's a couple of things to consider here. First and foremost, please understand I'm a licensed loan originator. I've got 18 properties myself, 8 that are being developed for sale. I have 6 houses here, 5 that are long-term rentals. I have a short-term rental in Tennessee, but then also I have my primary residence that my wife and I live in. That's a short-term rental. We have rented our house. When we go on vacation for 4th of July or Christmas, we will convert our house for 5 days, make $2,000 for our vacation, and then pay for it entirely just simply by utilizing the empty house that we left behind. So there's more options actually for people to go from no investment properties to actually your primary residence acting as a short-term rental just in a short or medium absence. Now, the long-term plan for my wife and I is that we are now buying a second home in Tennessee, larger home on larger property than the one that we have outside of Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, Tennessee, right outside of Dollywood, right outside of Splash World and Ripley's Museum and the Titanic Museum. Understand, in this part of Tennessee, it's like the redneck Coney Island. It's like the redneck Wisconsin Dells, or maybe the redneck Glenwood Springs or Pagosa Springs on steroids, times it by 40. These communities have 14, 15,000 people that live in them, and over 4 million visitors come in a year. That's like Breckenridge. Gatlinburg is the hillbilly Breckenridge, but our long-term goal for me personally is to have a second home that I spend 7 months in a year in Tennessee and 5 months a year in Colorado Springs, or say 6 months, 185 days here in Colorado and 170 days there. Time will tell. And then in the 5 months that we are not in the house, rather than having it sit vacant, We will Airbnb that home and make over $40,000 to $60,000 gross income, more than $5,000 a month, $10,000 for the 5 months we're gone, but averaging over $5,000. And how does something like that work? The big takeaways, very, very simple. You have to understand the difference between a primary residence and an investment property, but also it's important to understand the difference between an investment property long-term rental and a short-term rental. The VRBOs, the vacation rentals, the Airbnbs, and then the second largest takeaway, because I'm going to say, why would you do this? It's diversifying. I believe that with income, where my wife and I have seven different income streams. I joke with you that I have seven jobs. It's just like four out of seven of these jobs don't work with any of my immediate effort. My military retirement, that comes every month. It's not immediate action required. It just comes. Generational properties, which is all of our rentals, that investment, that residual income just comes. I also have a residual income from an internet business, Worldwide Group, Amway, and that just comes every single month, whether that's $25, $250, or $2,500, as it varies, that just comes. And you can look into these different avenues, these venues yourself. Now, let's look at the actual regulation in Colorado Springs. It was a free-for-all before the 26th of December in 2019, but then there was some city meetings, some forums where they passed the short-term rental laws. And after the 26th of December in 2019, they split short-term rentals into two categories, owner-occupied short-term rentals and non-owner-occupied rentals. Now, before that, you could have any of these rentals in R1, which is your primary residential single-family zoning areas, and R2 and R4 and R6 and all of that. Well, after that date of 2019, December of 2019, you can no longer have a non-owner-occupied Airbnb, VRBO, your individual short-term rental in any R1 zoned areas. You can go R2, you can go R4, R5, PUD, which is your planned urban development, etc. Now, this is interesting because the second category is your owner-occupied. See, my wife and I own and occupy my house. It's in R1. It's a single-family home, and I have it registered with the city. It's $119 a year. It's registered, and I can do that as long as I occupy. We're building my son a house with a plot of land and then a Craftsman. He will live in that house all the way through college and afterwards, but he'll have an accessory dwelling unit on it to where he can rent that as an owner-occupied house in his absence and also while he's there in a portion of that house. You can do the same. Now, one thing they did put in as a limit before, there was no limit at all. Now you need a 500-foot buffer for non-owner occupied. There's no limit to the amount of capacity of short-term rental business licenses you can have, but there is a buffer that you can't have a more condensed area where they're closer than 500 feet apart, which of course is a couple dozen each in a neighborhood. Now, you can look at the areas. This is all online in coloradosprings.org. There's no density limit at all. But they did say, why in the world did we even do this ordinance? Because we're supposed to be a conservative county. I question that as of late with Pikes Peak Regional Development, city planning, and all of the ordinances that are creeping in. This is one of the reasons my good friend Mike went and bought property up in Montana where you don't have to get 16 individuals poking you in the chest to say, what's your permits for your septic and all of this if you want to build a structure? Same thing in Tennessee. I just put an air conditioner in my house, and as long as the contractor is licensed, there's no permit requirements. But Colorado Springs said, hey, look it, we want to establish a community standard. We want to ensure the safety and the health of the visitors and the current neighborhood residents. And boom, here's the big one. This is the reason why we went to ordinance. They want to ensure that everybody's paying their fair share in this lodging and rental tax, this LART tax, like the hotels and the Airbnbs do. And that's the special interest group that pushed this. Now, we are much better off than Manitou. Woodland Park has a registration, no density limitation. It costs $42 rather than $119. But they do have a max no more than five people. But what are they going to do? Knock on the door? Count the people as they go in? So you have all these new regulations, and now you need the Airbnb cops riding down the neighborhood and riding through the websites. And if you look at the standard of over-regulation, just look at Manitou. I mean, Manitou capped it at 58 short-term rental for the entire city. Oh, congratulations. Now you've considered an entire sub-black market of short-term rental licenses. And out of 58 openings, they only have 9 left in that whole city. And what's going to happen is they think they can charge more. People will just stay in Old Colorado City in the Broadmoor where I am, and just forego Manitou altogether. So here's the regulations. But with the regulations, where is the actual comparison? And this is the meat where I wanted to really share with you. I'm going to look at a traditional rental and an Airbnb. And this is not hypothetical, folks. This is my rental on Patty Jewett, where we were just under $2,000 a month in gross rent. And now comparing that to a short-term rental, is it worth it? If my gross rents are now $45,000 as opposed to $24,000, it sounds like my money is doubled, but has it? See, because on a traditional rental, the only costs that you have as a landlord is the taxes, insurance, the maintenance, and then your property management fees. Well, my property management fees were zero because my wife and I maintain them ourselves. We have our taxes every year. We have our insurance, the major repairs, maintaining the yard, but the tenant takes care of all the furniture. The tenant takes care of all the utilities. The tenant takes care of their own insurance and minor repairs. So if you look at the $24,000 we made a year and about $4,050 a year in fees of all of those taxes, maintenance, insurance, etc., the net gross net taxable income that goes into our pocket is about $19,950. You look at a short-term rental, now you have not only your HOA fees, you have your property management fees, which, by the way, in these towns like Breckenridge and Pigeon Forge are 20 to 40%. We have 30% property management fees. You now have your utilities. That's another $2,000 to $3,000 a year. And you add that all up. If we're renting that house 60% of the year, which we did last year, at $200 a night, that's $45,000 of gross. But you take out all of the property management fees of $13,000, the utilities of $5,000, your maintenance of $3,600, you've got about $25,040 a year in expenses, tax deductible, but in your pocket, we get almost exactly like $19,900, almost the same to the penny. And this is what I want to end at, is that we're only renting 60% of the year. If we move that up to 80% of the year, we get an extra $10,000, and now we're ahead. If you go ahead and limit that property manage expense, now we can turn this and double our money. So for us, it's worth it, and I'm going to keep you posted. But you have to get knowledge on this subject. And as I state at the end of every show, go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them, because that's what matters. Not the rental and not the mortgage. And tune in next week as I continue the conversation right here on The Jay Garvin Show.
Hey, y'all, I want everybody to throw your hands in the air if you love cold cash money one time in a row. Repeat after me and say money, 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 money.
Money, 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 money.
Here we go.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
I'm going to rap to you all about making money with the ball, ba-dang-a-ding, diggy-diggy-diggy, shake the boogie to the bang-bang boogie, then you